Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nick Grunniblink. I'm the creator of Apples and Genos, originator of the Zero G Strategy, and contributor to Yahoo Fantasy. In this podcast, Blake and I are going to talk about the biggest hot shots and have nots of the last couple of weeks. Let's get it.
I'm Vincent Trocheck from the New York Rangers, and you're listening to the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast.
Now, of course, I have your friend and my best friend, Blake Creamer, here with me. I did not warn Blake that I was going to be playing the Vinny Tro intro. How are we feeling, Blake?
Oh, my God. You know, I'm mildly aroused. I got to say that right now. Vincent, Vinny Tro for show. I love that man. He's very attractive, amazing player. Maybe we'll chat about him today. I don't know. Definitely in the hot shots.
Absolutely. Only in the hot shots, forever in our hearts, Vincent Trocheck, friend of the show. Well, Blake, I say we don't waste any time. Let's jump right into some newsies. We got to start off with Alexander Barkov. Apparently only day-to-day. This is good news. Avoided long-term injury. He's going to miss the game on Monday, but beyond that, he could be up as soon as their next game. So something to monitor, but it seems like the worst fears have been allayed, and we'll only see one or two games missed for Alexander Barkov. That's good news. Some more good news is Adam Fox has resumed skating. Still no real timetable there, but at least he's on the ice. And then we get to Patrick Laine being healthy scratch for the game today. It was not a good game, a 5-2 loss against the Philadelphia Flyers. I don't know. Chime in here, Blake. Tell me how to feel about Patrick Laine. Tell me how to feel about Pascal Vincent with this parade of benchings and scratchings going on there.
I don't know, man, but it's rough. It's a rough watch. That's for sure. Like, they're getting smoked, right? They haven't won in, I don't know, what is it, like 7 games, or maybe it's even more than that. But yeah, this type of coaching, we talked about in our last episode, but what is the end game here? Like, I don't know. You're benching this man, or like, you benched him first and now he's healthy scratch. Patrick Laine, he makes $8 million a year. I mean, there's gotta be a better way. I don't know. Like, get a motivational speaker. I don't know. Give him the Tony Robbins book. Do something. All right. Give him a nice new haircut, a pair of glasses, and let's get the business. I don't know. But yeah, I am hating what's going on in Columbus there.
Yeah. It seems like it can't go on this bad forever, but at this point it's all been bad for the last little bit. I have to wonder, honestly, like, if it doesn't turn around, like, they can't get rid of Laine, Gaudreau, and all these guys with the huge contracts. Like, it will be the coach who goes if this continues much longer. And so I know they just gave him a big vote of confidence, but if he goes, then you got to wonder, is Kekalainen's job safe there? Do they really start to tear things down and build with different players? Like, this could get ugly, honestly, and it's tough to see from a team that I really like a lot of their players, to be quite honest with you. I think Laine and Gaudreau are still probably buy low candidates. Like, Laine is going to get dropped like in a lot of leagues now. Gaudreau has had points in his last two games now, even though it's not been terrific numbers. Like, at least he's given you a little bit of something. I'm still interested in buying low there because I think he's just good at hockey and he'll eventually find his way into some points. And Zach Werenski had, I think it was a 5-game point streak before going pointless today. So it seems to be relatively unaffected, no goals in that, but still, it's just tough to see, and tough to see, especially even for the young guys, right? We're excited about Kirill Marchenko. We're excited about Adam Fantilli, and it's just tough to see for those guys. You just hope that they'll be able to achieve their potential, both for their careers, but also for us in fantasy. One more note from that game, Damon Severson had an upper body injury. There was no update after the game. So for you super deep league sickos, there's a little Damon Severson update for you. A couple of day-to-days to round this out here. Jonas Korpisalo missed the last game there for Ottawa in the Sweden series. Sounds like it was just a 1-game thing and he should be back, but Ottawa also doesn't play until later on this week. I believe they've only got the two games this week. They're the one game schedule. That's right. They only play on Friday this week. So probably felt like they could give him the day off, give him the whole week, and he should be good to go once again. Timo Meier, the other one I alluded to there. He missed two games in a row now, but it sounds still like he's day-to-day. Pretty good chance still to play Wednesday, their next game against the Detroit Red Wings. All right, Blake, let's get into some hot shots. And you know we're going to start this off with your boy and mine, Vincent Trocheck. 10 points, 3 goals, 10 points in his last 5 games. Now, obviously, the Rangers didn't have a great schedule, but Vincent Trocheck absolutely made the most of that schedule, putting up a huge game there, bringing him to this 10-point total in his last 5 games. Underlying numbers are kind of all over the place. It's a little bit hard to make sense of, but he is averaging 21.5 minutes time on ice, 298th in shots per 60, which is usually an area that he's quite good in. A lot better, 101st in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. On-ice numbers, quite good, 27th in Corsi, 4 per 60, 95th in scoring chances, 4 per 60. All told, Vincent Trocheck is now suddenly on a 76-point pace for the season. What to make of all of this, Blake? Do you think that 76 points is attainable for Vincent Trocheck, given how earth-shattering Artemi Panarin has been in the early season?
Well, that's it right there. It's obviously Panarin is really driving Trocheck's point total up, right? Like, if you look at Vincent Trocheck, he's got 10 points in the last 5 games, but he only had 4 points in the 10 games before that. So Trocheck has been a streaky player in the past. And I mean, I absolutely believe 77 points is in the wheelhouse, but that's absolute ceiling, and everything would have to go right for Trocheck, and he would have to improve on some of these numbers, right? Like you alluded to here with his shots on goal per 60, like just on the season, it's 363rd on the season. Damn. You know, you got to shoot to score, buddy. And he's not doing that. And the thing with Trocheck too, is that's not really normal for him, especially at even strength. Like, looking at some of his historic numbers, like, you know, in the last 2 seasons, or even just the last season with the Rangers, he was shooting at 5-on-5s, 7.22 shots on goal per 60, which is okay, right? But this year he's shooting 3.47. So, I mean, obviously, who am I to say anything, right? The guy's got 10 points in 5 games. So that's excellent, but it's just, he's not doing it in the way that Trocheck normally does, right? He's doing it with classic sell high stuff, right? Low shots, low shot volume, and high shooting percentage, right? So, you know, and high on ice shooting percentage as well. So I like what I'm seeing, but I'm hoping that Trocheck gets back to sort of the player that he usually is, and then it'll sort of offset the potential regression for this shooting percentage, right? And the on-ice shooting percentage, just more shots, more chances, which he's not really getting. So needless to say, I love me some Vinny Tro. I'm stoked he's getting these points, but I definitely don't expect 77 points. I think we're looking at probably a 60-point player here, you know, and I think I'd be super happy with that. Like, his deployment is excellent. He's power play one, you know, 72% power play share. I love it. Get some Vinny Tro in your life. He's still only 66% rostered. That's why I got Vinny Tro on my radar in the first place last year. He was like 50% or something. It didn't make a bit of sense, and it still doesn't. 66%. This guy's on the top power play on I think it's the second or third ranked power play in the league. Like, go pick this man up. What are we doing here?
Yep. Absolutely should be rostered pretty much everywhere at this point. I think, yeah, you're absolutely right on the money to say that there could be a scenario where, you know, the underlying numbers come back up to match a little bit more of his career numbers. Maybe he's just deferring a little bit more to Panarin, who's been shooting a lot more this year as well. That could be a little bit of it. I'm not sure how much I really buy that theory, but it could be a little bit of it. Overall, it does seem like the Rangers, while Trocheck has been on the ice at least, his Corsi 4 per 60 is up this year, but his scoring chances 4 per 60 is down. So there's a little bit of give and take there. Seems like they've been trading a little more volume for closer chances, more dangerous chances. So a little bit different scheme maybe going on there this year. And yeah, maybe that affects him worse than others to just not be taking those shots. So who knows exactly at this point. We're still very fresh into this young season. But all things told, Trocheck, a stud. Glad to see him doing well so far, and absolutely somebody you're going to be hanging on to for a long time in your leagues. Another guy that you're going to be hanging on to is Sam Reinhart, 9 points, 4 goals in his last 5 games, averaging over 20 and a half minutes on ice. 197th in shots for 60, but 22nd in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 18th in Corsi, 4 per 60, and 51st in scoring chances, 4 per 60. He's on 116-point pace. He's doing the thing right now. And, you know, we kind of always thought that there was some ceiling for Sam Reinhart. I didn't think it was this high, I will say that much. Last year when everybody was asking me if they could drop Sam Reinhart, and I was telling people, no, I think the numbers still look okay. He's going to bounce back. He's going to bounce back. He's going to bounce back. I did not think that the bounce back would take until, I think he came back like the last maybe like 15 games of the season, and then he's parlayed it into a huge start to this season.
Yeah.
But yeah, Blake, tell me how to feel. Tell me how you feel about Sam Reinhart. Like, are you trying to sell high on this guy if you got him?
Yeah, well, actually, I had him in my sell high, and it killed me because I have Sam Reinhart in five teams, right? I picked him up everywhere because the value was stupid, in my opinion, and I didn't expect this, though. I don't think anyone can be like, yeah, I called Sam Reinhart for 116-point pace. No, all right, but I definitely expected, some more deployment, and boy, has he ever got it. Like, he's just under 21 minutes average time on ice. That's awesome, right? And, you know, first off, I've also anointed Sam Reinhart with a new nickname, the Sex Panther. Oh, yeah, that's it. Sammy Reinhart, the Sex Panther. I know people love my nicknames. I get feedback all the time that people love it, so... that's sarcasm. All right. Let's move on. But yeah, there's some neat things. I do think it's a sell high, but I don't think the regression is going to be huge. I think this is a player that's carved a role, kind of an elite role for himself on this team. He's tied to Barkov, who unfortunately is injured right now. So that's going to be interesting how Reinhart goes the next couple games without Barkov. I mean, you know, I'm interested in to see how he performs, but he's doing a couple things. He's obviously converting at a high rate, right? His shot percentage is 25.5 on the season, but he's shooting more too. I love that. That's not normally the way it goes. Like, you're shooting more and you're converting more. Like, that equals a big season. And that's what's happened with Reinhart so far. So he's a staple in the top power play. He's getting all the deployment. I love the player. I think he's so good right now. Like, if you did want to sell high on Reinhart, I think you could actually target, like, you know, maybe an underperforming first rounder, early second rounder, late second rounder, third rounder. You could really move up, like, for season long value. If you value someone higher than you think Reinhart's going to be at the end of the year, you might be able to use Reinhart as a really good trade chip. So that said, I'm not trying to sell on him. I'm just going to ride the wave. I'm loving the Sex Panther. Give it to me, Nate. What do you think of the nickname? First off, come on.
The nickname's terrific. I love Anchorman. So any reference that we can get there, I'm all for it. All right.
What is that's but, an Anchorman? Oh my God, I didn't know.
but yeah, I do think that there's probably a chance to move off Reinhart. I think you're right to put him in your sell highs this past week. I think about Kirill Kaprizov,
that's who I mentioned.
Yeah.
Go get Kirill Kaprizov. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think that was exactly right. And I wanted to bring it up again, just to hammer the point home here. I really think that there's managers out there who are just totally freaked out about Kirill Kaprizov, who incidentally is 6th in Corsi 4 per 60 and 2nd in scoring chances 4 per 60 over his last 5 games. I have zero worries about Kirill Kaprizov. But if somebody else does, I am absolutely interested in moving off Sam Reinhart for Kaprizov. I still think Kaprizov, it could start in their very next game, and he could be a 100-point player from here on out, and that would not shock me in the slightest. In fact, I'd actually probably lay some money that he's at least over a point per game from this point onward. And I don't know if I would do that for Reinhart just yet. He's obviously doing terrific. IPP is high, shooting percentage is high. It's all high right now, and he'll come back down to earth eventually. But they also, you know, they got Montour back. They got Ekblad back. The Panthers are humming. So definitely I'm not selling Reinhart for pennies on the dollar. I'm aiming high if I am moving off Reinhart. Let's move on to Dallas and talk about a couple of second line stars there. Tyler Seguin and Matt Duchene reinventing themselves on that second line, averaging both around 17 minutes a night in the last 5 games here. What's really sticking out to me is the on ice stats for both these guys, 26th in Corsi 4 per 60 and 20th for Sagan first, 26th in Corsi 4 for 60, 20th for Matt Duchesne. Over in scoring chances, 4 for 60, 8th for Tyler Sagan, and 6th for Matt Duchesne. So terrific numbers under the hood there for both these guys. You obviously know that there's pretty much no way either of these guys are going to be on the top power play unless there is an injury to one of the existing members of that power play. But still, it's pretty hard to underestimate what they've been able to do here in the last little bit. Are we getting to a place where these guys are just like rostered and hold players, or do you think that there's going to be some regression from this point?
I think there's got to be regression, but again, these are two players that have carved out a nice little role for themselves. Like, they're not relied on as the top dogs there in Dallas, and they won't be, right? Like you said, there's no chance of getting on power play one, even though it hasn't been like banging as of yet. Like, they're not going to break that up. That's a great power play. I think it was fifth or sixth in the league last season. So they're going to be good to go. You know, it's hard for me to get excited about Tyler Sagan, honestly. I think he's well past his kind of prime there. He's a smart player though. He does what he needs to do to stay relevant, right? You know, but he's shooting a lot less than he did last year. I don't like that. I think Matt Duchesne. Oh, it was Duchesne. You know, these guys are both sell highs. I mean, if you could get anything for them, but I think Duchesne, I'm interested in moving forward a little bit more than I am Sagan, just because of sort of the metrics that he's bringing, like shots and goal per 60, 8.85. That's very good, you know, and his shooting percentage isn't ridiculous, right? Like, it's 16.7% on the year at all strengths. Like, that's reasonable. He's fairly high efficient, you know, shooter. The shots are solid. He's looking good out there. But both these players too, the deployment, you know me, I'm not really big on players that are getting like 16 minutes, you know, ice time a night. It's like, I don't know, but when you're cooking like this, these guys got to be on rosters, right? 9 points in five games for Duchesne. Oh God. And then 6 and 3 for Sagan. I like that. I think they should be on rosters while they're hot, but don't be afraid to kick these guys to the curb.
Fair enough. Yeah, just for reference, Tyler Sagan rostered in only 26% of Yahoo leagues right now. Duchesne up to 58% now. He's sustained this over a little bit longer period than Sagan, so that's probably the reason there. But yeah, I think both these guys are valuable while they're hot. I would have a short leash with them, same as you. But yeah, it seems like they've really found some actual chemistry, and they might be able to play off each other a little bit more than maybe we thought, and that's worth noting for sure. Moving on, we got Erik Gustafsson rocking 7 points in his last five games. Really impressive stuff from Erik Gustafsson. Kind of like what we said, right? Well, we're all over this. As soon as Adam Fox went down, we said Erik Gustafsson was a priority add. We saw it last year. Did the same thing with John Carlson in Washington. When Carlson went down with injury, Gustafsson stepped in, was terrific, averaging over 21 minutes a night. Underlying numbers are good, as you would expect there with the Rangers. So basically, Gustafsson is that guy you hold until Fox is back, and then you let him go. If you can trade Gustafsson now before there's any certainty on when Fox will be back, then sure. Like, if you can get something of lasting value, then I'd be into that. But really, I think this one's pretty cut and dried, unless you got something else, Blake.
Yeah, not too much to say here, but it is nice when a plan kind of comes, you know, actually makes sense. Like, it's a logical thing, you know, Gustafsson's going to take over and bang. Yeah, 7 points in five games. Love that. This guy's good to go, but his value is just nuked once Adam Fox comes back. So, yeah, but I've got Gustafsson. Did you get him anywhere?
No, I didn't actually. He's had some odd schedules, so he's been nice, but I didn't think he'd be this nice. So I think I chose some other players with four game schedules and stuff over him where I needed a defenseman. So I haven't enjoyed it anywhere, but hopefully some other people who have been recommending him to have.
Boom.
Let's keep rolling and talk about Owen Tippett, who's just been shooting the lights out over the last little bit. I'd have to double check to see if my stats pull here is reflecting the game today. I believe it is, but 7 points in his last five games is what I've got up here, including five goals, fourth in the league in shots per 60. That is the Owen Tippett that we know and love. Yes, that is correct. It's over the last five games here, including the 5-2 win over Columbus today. Didn't get any points there, but had another five shots on goal. Absolutely doing the thing is Owen Tippett. On the season now, it's still just 32 goals and a 59-point pace for Tippett, still averaging just over 15 minutes. And this last stretch, honestly, has been down closer to 14 minutes. What to make of all this, Blake? Like, I've heard some people talk about, you know, maybe the Flyers will suck so bad that they blow it all up. But, I mean, the Flyers have just rattled off five straight wins. I don't know if they're thinking about blowing it up anytime soon. Tippett is skating on a line with Scott Laughton and Cam Atkinson, at least of this game here today. It's not like super exciting. He did get onto what looks like a top power play with Couturier and Konechny and Sanheim here today. So that's a little bit more interesting, but still just the 13:53 is what he skated today. So it's pretty hard to get on board with a guy who's skating so little, but the shots per 60 is so dang good that I'm still thinking about it. And more than thinking about it, I'm rostering him in some places. So what are you doing with Tippett? Are you trying to move off him, off the hot streak? What's the play here, Blake?
Yeah, I echo everything you said there. It's like you said, it's just really hard to get excited about a guy getting deployed this way. And then it doesn't make any sense either. Like, I guess it does make sense. Five straight wins. Boom. Like that's we're fantasy managers and we're like, come on, buddy, put Owen Tippett out there. Meanwhile, they lose five straight, you know, with Owen Tippett crushing 21 minutes a night. So whatever, they're doing what they need to do to win. It's just unfortunate, right? Because this guy could be a fantasy stud. Like a lot of people called in the offseason. I think you and me were a little bit lukewarm on the full breakout of Owen Tippett here. Like I think I have him for 60 points or something like that. You had him for less, I believe. Yeah. But yeah, He's kind of like a stash. Like I believe in this player, but he needs the ice time to really pop and he's not getting it right now. That said, I mean, when they have a good schedule, he should absolutely be rostered. I think you could roster him now. Like, look what he's doing. Another five shots in just under 14 minutes with power play one time. Like that's almost enough. That's almost enough to have him as a must roster. But you know, to me, he's more of a stash player, but I'm definitely interested in this player. If he starts getting prioritized, boom, you got to add him immediately.
Sounds good. Alexis Lafreniere is next up. He also has 7 points in his last five games, including three goals, averaging just under 18 minutes a night. I will note that is buoyed significantly by a 24-minute overtime game that he played against Columbus. Underlying stats are okay. 114th in shots per 60, 96th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 58th in Corsi, 4 per 60, 100th in scoring chances, 4 per 60. So Lafreniere has been getting that sweet, sweet Artemi Panarin exposure at even strength. Obviously still on the second power play unit. The top power play unit has been fairly entrenched for the last little bit. Zibanejad, Kreider, Trocheck, Panarin with Gustafsson on point. But what are your thoughts on Lafreniere? I've heard some people saying this is it. This is the breakout. This is the number one overall pick we've been waiting for. I have my reservations about that, but give me your opinion, Blake.
Yeah, I'm not there for it. This is a step for sure. Like I love to see one of these young guys on the Rangers actually succeeding in the top six. Like Kako's had his shot there. Hedo got some play as the second line center there, nothing doing right. But now Lafreniere is starting to get some run here. And yeah, he's having the full Panarin experience, you know, like the Panarin's going off. First off, like I'm just looking at the Rangers numbers here. He's leading that team in shots and goal per 60 with like 13 or something like that. That is not Panarin. Like what is he doing? He shaved his head and the man just, he's gone loco. He's ballistic. He's pulling a Britney Spears. Shout out to Britney Spears. Respect. I'm into Lafreniere. Like, you know, the Rangers have a good schedule this week. This guy should absolutely be rostered for the 4-game week for the Rangers. And see what happens, but it's not going to be a breakout if he's not on power play one. Like it's just like, what's a breakout really? Like he's, what is this? 39 points. So I think he'll beat that. So is that a breakout? Yeah. I mean, I could see him getting 50 points this year. That's great, but it's not a breakout. It's just another step in this guy's development, but it was much needed. I think I'd love if Lafreniere would shoot the puck a little bit more, like shoot the puck, man. But again, him and Trocheck not shooting the puck and Panarin shooting everything. So obviously they're doing something that's working and maybe it's like a line dynamic that they have there and it's currently working, but yeah, breakout. No step. Yes.
Fair enough. Yeah. For what it's worth, Lafreniere has been shooting a little bit more as of late. So he had a 4-shot game and a 3-shot game in his last three here and a bunch of twos otherwise. But overall, like on the season, His shots per 60 last year was 6.57. His shots per 60 this year is 6.50. He's doing it a little bit more dangerously this year. 8.9 individual scoring chances, 4 per 60 versus 7.2 nice. Last year. Obviously, the on-ice stats are a little better so far this year, just vis-a-vis that exposure to Panarin that he's been getting so far this year. But it's not like breaking the doors down. The on-ice shooting percentage, his shooting percentage is skyrocketed, 26%. One of the better IPPs of his career. Like, everything's just on the high end for Lafreniere right now as well. So right now he's on a 60-point pace. I don't see that continuing, but like you said, I could see a 50-point pace. And like, I mean, okay, is that really moving the needle for fantasy? Like, this very well could be the best stretch of his season right here. And yeah, I just wouldn't be surprised if he goes back to being pretty much unrosterable after this. Hopefully there's another step for him. I'm not rooting against the player by any stretch, but I am pretty much hands off. Lafreniere can get rostered by somebody else in my league. Let's move on and talk about some defensemen. First up, Tory Krug, who had a nice week, 5 points in his last five games now. And he's first in shots per 60 amongst all defensemen in those five games. Believe it or not, Tory Krug, that absolute legend. Ninth in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. Sixth in Corsi, 4 per 60. Ninth in scoring chances, 4 per 60. Tory Krug absolutely getting it done. That does not include the game against Anaheim, which is ongoing as we're recording this. But yeah, a couple of six-shot games, a four-shot game. He's been blocking a ton, throwing a few more hits than normal. Doesn't have points in his last three games, including the game in progress here. But before that, he had a four-game point streak where he racked up a bunch of points. So Tory Krug, is he now like a must-roster defenseman? Throw it to you, Blake.
No. Not a must-roster defenseman. Again, he's on a hot streak, and I love these numbers. This is very promising, you know, but I don't trust really St. Louis very much. That's a team that is just has sell high written all over it. When they do well, it's because they're converting at a ridiculous rate, right? This is a team that doesn't shoot very much, right? So obviously, Tory Krug is shooting, and that's great, like as evidenced by the underlying metrics here, but I don't know. The other thing too is like his power play deployment is all over the shop. So tonight, yeah, Perunovic is getting the top power play treatment, where Krug is on the second power play. So what's going on? I don't know. And his deployment has normalized here over the past like 7-8 games. So that's nice to see. But I don't know. I think Tory Krug was like a late round flyer, like if you needed a potential power play one defenseman. And I think he's gonna serve that role well. Like if you drafted him. I think, you know, he could. I mean, what is he on pace for here? 29 points? Oh, my God. He'll probably get more than 29 points, but what, Matt, like 40? I mean, maybe. So I certainly don't think he's must roster, but I love this stretch here. And he's definitely rosterable when St. Louis has a good schedule. This schedule coming up for St. Louis, the three games, one off night. Again, it's a garbage week. So I don't know if you have him. I'll definitely hold him and see what he does over these three games. But I'm not too excited. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, it's hard to get too excited when he can get bumped off the top power play that easily. We'll say, like, by the end of the season, I expect him to have most of the top power play time there with St. Louis. But, yeah, it's not a good look, and you don't want to be just worried about every game. Is he there? Is he not? Is he there? Is he not? While he's hot like this, while he's shooting the puck like this, absolutely willing to be rostering him. But I am going to be watching him like a hawk. Definitely still more of a streamer level guy than a guy that I'm just locking and loading into my lineup from here on out, despite the really good numbers the last little bit. A guy who has been locked and loaded in lineups is Travis Sandheim, who has 5 points in his last five games, still averaging over 26 minutes a night. On-ice stats have not been kind lately. 188th in shots per 60, 93rd in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. On-ice numbers, not great either. 170th amongst defensemen, shot attempts per 60, 161st in scoring chances, 4 per 60. So he's been getting his points via a 71% IPP and a 25% shooting percentage these last five games. That's not great, but Sandheim, I mean, on the season, still pacing for 73 points. Are you in on 73-point pace, Travis Sandheim, Blake?
I don't think anyone should be in on 73-point Travis Sandheim pace, but this is a nice surprise for the season. I do think that this is a player. Obviously, he's Torts' guy there. and he's got the confidence of the coach, and he's trotting him out there for big minutes. And that is really valuable, right? And Philadelphia is obviously an improved team with the, you know, some of the injury guys coming back. Sean Couturier has been a great player to come back for them. So I like the player, but not at a 73 point pace. Obviously those metrics that you mentioned, like one of these things is not like the other. The luck metrics are sky high, right? IPP and shooting percentage, that's sell high material, right? So I do like Sanheim. 73 points, no. I like him for a 50 point player though. I think 50 points, Travis Sanheim, you're loving that. And that would be a career high by far. He's going to get a career high this year. And it's a nice story, right? 27-year-old guy. He was a first rounder. And he's really come into his own, you know, in his 7th season. So that's pretty nice. I'd roster him if he was available, but he's not available in any of my leagues. So there you go.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I do think there still could be a pretty solid sell high window now that Sanheim's done this for 18 games. Maybe some people are really starting to buy in at this point. And yeah, I would agree with the assessment. He's probably a 50-point player. 50-point pace from here on out would be my best guess if I had to put a number on it. So definitely think that this might be a chance to move off Sanheim. Let's roll over and talk about Devon Taves, who's been cold all season until recently, now has a goal and 6 points in his last 5 games, averaging over 23 minutes a night. The underlying numbers are starting to peak as well. 25th in shots per 60, 61st in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, 29th in Corsi, 4 per 60, and 38th in scoring chances, 4 per 60. When it's all said and done through 16 games, Devon Taves on pace for 10 goals, 51 points, just like we drew it up. So all that to say, Devon Taves still good at hockey. Colorado Avalanche went through some weird stretches here, but now top third again in all the underlying metrics that we like to look at even strength and everything. So I think that pretty much what we thought about Devon Taves at the beginning of the season was probably correct. You're probably looking at a guy who's going to be around a 55 point pace for the season from the second power play there in Colorado. As Colorado goes, so will Devon Taves.
Yeah, I don't have much to add. Like, you know, I think we've talked about Devon Taves for a little while. Like, it's a player you're a little bit higher on than me, but I mean, you got to love it. Like you said, 55 points. This guy's steady Eddie, right? He's gonna do that. The team, like you said, went through a bit of a funk there, but they've just rattled off 3 straight wins. They're looking good. They're looking dominant again. Devon Taves, his real value could come if Cale Makar gets injured, when Cale Makar gets injured. Hopefully he doesn't again. I love Cale Makar. I don't want him to get injured, but you know, Devon Taves would be blast off time if Makar goes down. So that's something to think about. He's an auto add if he's not already added on a team, but yeah, I don't have this player anywhere. I'm not too excited. He's one of these boring fantasy players that you need on your team to win because he produces at a really consistent rate.
Definitely. Well, that's going to wrap up our hot shots. While we've got you here, if you want to talk more about fantasy hockey, you should check out the Apples and Geos Discord server. Link is in the show description for you to click on. Jump in, join us, talk fantasy hockey all day and all night with a bunch of people who love it just as much as you and possibly too much. You should also check out the Apples and Geno's Patreon if you need some help with your team or if you need somebody who will answer your questions guaranteed every day. I'm doing that over on Patreon for a low monthly subscription fee. Check out that link if that's something you need. While you're here, if you could like and subscribe if you're on YouTube, that would help us out. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you know what to do. Throw a rating on, give us a review. We love to see that stuff. Blake loves to read reviews about his nicknames, as he alluded to earlier. You got any favorites, Blake, so far?
Well, oh, my reviews? Yeah, I mean, I love going through the reviews and seeing, like, things that I say. Like, we got a recent review on Apple that says, we're total beefers with nice heads of hair. I love that stuff. That's if, you know, you want to give me some joy, you know, I just put in some of that stuff in the reviews there. That's nice. All right. But yeah, I've got some salty reviews too. You know, sorry about that, everyone, but you know, I got to be myself. I have to, it's a problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wanted to shout out a few of these reviews. Total Beefers. That was a good one. Came in on Thursday. These guys have great heads of hair and they get down to biz. Absolutely. That's what we do here. Another one said, thanks guys. I'm 3-1 in wins because of you guys. Keep it up with all that inside news. I think we got to this one previously, but another one Love when a new episode shows up in my feed. Always great fantasy insight and excellent content from MBogDan0. So thank you for all those recent reviews. We do read every one of them, and we love to see them, especially Blake. It really gives him a good warm feeling in the pit of his stomach. So give him some Christmas cheer as we get into this time of year. And hit up Blake in the reviews section. We love to see it.
Nice. All right. Yeah, there you go.
All right, let's get into some have-nots. And unfortunately, we're starting this off with Mart Sider, 0 points in his last five games here, still averaging over 23 minutes a night, 41st in shots per 60, 40th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60, on-ice numbers pretty bad, 79th in Corsi, 4 per 60, 104th in scoring chances, 4 per 60. What's your quick take on Mart Sider at this point in the season, Blake?
I think it's kind of what we thought Sider was going to be, right? Like, you and I talked about it back and forth in the preseason here, just with Gostis Baird probably taking power play one there, and that's kind of what's happened. It looks like they are running the two defensemen back on the power play one, so that's nice. That's going to give a little bit higher ceiling for Sider, but he's just not that type of player. Like, I think there's a level of expectation when you come in and you have a great season like Sider did in his first season. No question about that. 50 points in 82, won the Calder, right? But I mean, there wasn't exactly like a crazy rookie class there, right? I'm not taking anything away from Sider either. This guy's a beast and he's a great player in reality, right? But in terms of fantasy, he's just not really moving the needle for me. You know what I mean? Like, I love watching him out there, but you know, Cats League, sure, but he's just not that kind of player. One goal in 17 games, like, oh God, that's, I'm just not that interested. I had him early on when he was kind of popping off a little bit. I just picked him up because I had an injury spot. I put a player into IR and then just picked up Mo Sider because he was left there. But I didn't feel any type of way when I dropped him. And I don't know. I don't think he rides power play one for the entire season. Gostis Baird looked amazing, actually, in the global series. He had a really good game there. Like, it was a really good game. He was quite noticeable out there. So I think that buys him a little more time because he was kind of trending downwards as well, Gostis Baird, like with his ice time and stuff like that.
Yeah. First off, what league are you playing in where Mo Sider got dropped and you dropped him again? Like, I've not seen that in any of my leagues. He's been
it's a points
90
league.
Plus percent.
Wow. Yeah, it's a points league.
Points only?
Yeah, points with it. It's like no banger waiting. Yeah, there's no banger waiting.
Okay, yeah. That makes a little more sense to me. But yeah, I think, I'm looking at his like shots per 60 on the season, just comparing to past seasons. Like, he's kind of in line with last season once again, despite the extra power play time so far this season. The IPP looks in line. The shooting percentage is exactly the same as last year right now, which is kind of ironic. On-ice shooting percentage is actually higher, believe it or not, than last year. So, like, the 53-point pace that he's on right now, I'd say might honestly even be a little bit high for the rest of the season. I think that it's just not a player I'm super interested in unless it's, like, a banger's cats or a heavy banger waiting, and then Mo Sider really starts to shine because he absolutely does that in spades. Regarding Gostis Baird and like their kind of weird relationship that they have regarding the power play and everything, I think like right now their best look is probably that three forward, two defenseman power play. Sometimes when Lucas Raymond gets in there or they switch it out and they go David Perron on the second unit, like I think they've gone back and forth between those a few times. Mostly it's been Perron on the top unit. And then Perron and Gostis Baird can both do their bombing away. DeBrink gets a shooter. Larkin kind of plays the bumper position, moves all around through the formation. It's kind of an interesting dynamic that they have going. Unfortunately, like early on, the power play was really clicking and they were being very dangerous. That started to regress back more towards the middle of the pack over the last 14 days or so here from the stats I'm looking at. And also, like, they've never been good even strength, which is obviously where Sider does most of his work. So that's a problem. Overall, Gostis Baird, I think, is probably going to be relatively safe for most of the year, but he is going to have games where he goes up and down on ice time, depending on whether they're ahead or behind. Like, I think when they're ahead, Gostis Baird is going to play less. Like, I watched him against the Leafs and he was coughing up some pucks pretty bad. Definitely not a defensive stalwart is Shane Gostis Baird. So I do think he'll end up with decent minutes and probably mostly power play one on the season. for whatever that's worth to you. But yeah, they do have a kind of an interesting relationship, Gostisbehere and Sider, and I lean more Gostisbehere there just for the sheer points on the season personally. Let's keep talking about defensemen. Let's talk about Jacob Trouba. Trouba has just one assist in his last five games, still averaging over 24 minutes a night, 35th in shots per 60, 48th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. Somehow this man has terrible on-ice numbers even while playing for the Rangers, 146th in Corsi 4 per 60 and 142nd in scoring chances, 4 per 60. That's really concerning to me, quite honestly. Like, the draw with Trouba has been that he's kind of Sider-like in that he provides elite banger cats, and then he provides enough points where he's like actually super valuable. He's that Trouba, Nurse, Sider, these guys kind of all go together in my mind. But if Trouba is not going to be able to move the needle and he's going to be like this bad at generating offense, because clearly it's a little bit just him and not really the team around him, because Panarin's absolutely crushing. So I think that that's a problem for me. How do you see the situation with Trouba, and can you explain the on-ice numbers to me?
Yeah, I mean, in my thoughts is that he's kind of transitioned to a truly defensive defenseman, right? Like, that is what the new coach, Peter Laviolette, is asking of him. Like, go out there and just shut guys down. Like, he trucked, Nosek the other night in New Jersey. Yeah. Did you see that? Sheesh! I love Jacob Trouba. I just think, what is our expectation of this player? I mean, he got 30 points in 82 games last year. He's on a 27 point pace right now. Like, you know, give or take, right? Like, he's not shooting as much, but, you know, like you said, the hits and blocks, that's what this man does. One thing that's interesting, and this shouldn't make a huge difference and won't, but last season he had a 23% power play share. So he was getting some second power play time. This season, he's got a 1.6 power play share. So he's getting nothing on the power play. He's going out as the power play ends. He got 5 points on the power play last season. So you take 5 points away from 30 points, you're looking at 25, which is probably what he might pace for this year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just think like his role with the new head coach is defensive defenseman, get out there, make it uncomfortable for the other team, block shots, right? Be a leader. In terms of fantasy, he's a Bangers Cats guy, but I would never roster this guy in a points league, even with Bangers Cats. I mean, or a banger waiting. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. What are we expecting from Jacob Trouba?
Yeah, I think you might be right. It is still puzzling to me. Like, I don't see a really big reason why he's dropped off so much this year. Maybe it's strength of competition. He's being asked to play against top lines more often this year than he was last year. But like, just looking directly from last year to this year, last year, Corsi 4 per 60 at even strength was 57.4. This year, 51.5. Corsi against last year, 56.9. Yeah. This year, 65.4. Like, he's given up a lot more against. He's kind of getting caved in, quite honestly. A 44% Corsi 4 percentage and a 45% scoring chances 4 percentage. So he's kind of getting destroyed by opposing teams at even strength. And that's not something that you would really expect, I don't think, from a Rangers team that's been pretty good overall. Like, they're not towards the top of the league the last little bit in terms of their even strength Corsi 4 percentage. They're 12th in Corsi 4 percentage. And then they're a little bit further down in terms of the scoring chances for percentage, 20th. So they haven't been doing terrific. Obviously, you lose Adam Fox, that does hurt. So you can take that into account. But still, it seems like Trouba is underperforming his circumstance right now. And that's concerning, especially if it starts to bite into his ice time. You know, when the Fox is back, they get healthy. Does Trouba start to lose ice time on top of that? It's just bad signs all around for Jacob Trouba right now. It's hard to be excited. I'm not necessarily dropping him. If you bought into him, you're probably in a league where his banger cats are super valuable, so you're gonna probably hang on to him for that. Like, even if he transitioned into Braden McNabb, you're probably still interested in that player to banger's cats. So that's kind of where I'm at on him. You're probably not dropping him just because of the type of league you're rostering him in. If you're in like a points only or something like that, there's definitely no reason to be hanging on to Jacob Trouba in my mind, though. Let's move on. I want to talk about Dylan Larkin here. 0 points in his last five games. Obviously, not great vibes with Detroit recently, averaging just under 20 minutes there. 99th in shots per 60, 114th in individual scoring chances for per 60. On ice numbers, 74th in shot attempts per 60 and 163rd in scoring chances for per 60. Still on a point per game pace on the season after his hot start. Seems like things have kind of equalized a little bit here, but do you think he goes up from this or continues to slump? What's the story with Larkin?
I don't know. I feel like this is more the player he is, like a point per game kind of player. The way that him and DeBrincat started the season, it just never felt sustainable. I had DeBrincat and Larkin on sell high shows early on in the season because it just didn't make any sense. And you've brought attention to this a lot. Like the even strength play of the Red Wings is not good. Right. Like they're not generating a lot of shots. They're not generating a lot of chances. Right. They're just being hyper efficient. And then they were crushing on the power play. So what happens when the power play starts to go down? We're seeing the result of that. Right. Larkin, DeBrincat is chipping away little points here and there. But Larkin's 0 points in his last five games. Yeah, this stinks. Right. But I still love the player. Like even just watching a recent game with Larkin, like he's all over the ice. He's an amazing skater. He's noticeable out there. I think the numbers will get a little better. Like the last five games, they're all much lower than they are season wide. Like on the season, he's 64th in shots and goal per 60, 64th in individual Corsi four and 76 in individual scoring chances four. So that's better. That's closer to what I think Larkin is compared to what he is this last five games. So yeah, I mean, you put the global series in there as well. Like that's gotta be hard on players to just go over to Sweden and now you're playing games at 5 a.m. or whatever the hell it is, right? Like not making excuses for the guy, but I think of Dylan Larkin as a point per game, maybe just over point per game player. So I think he's kind of leveling off to where he probably should be.
Yeah, I feel similarly, like just comparing his numbers to last year, they're very, very in line with his numbers from last year. Yeah, just getting a little bump in terms of the Corsi 4 per 60, but not seeing a similar bump in scoring chances 4 per 60. So I feel like Larkin is pretty much the same guy we had last year. Point per game player, pretty much how I'd evaluate him. Another center that has struggled as of late, Sam Bennett, coming back from injury, obviously, has only played four games since then, averaging about 16 and a half minutes time on ice. The shots have not really been there for Bennett, which is usually one of Bennett's calling cards and one of the things that makes him valuable for fantasy. He did get four shots off in the game, the last game against Anaheim that Florida played, and got up to 18 minutes, 40 seconds time on ice in that game. Obviously, Barkov out probably means some more ice time for Bennett in the short term here. But long term, how are we evaluating Bennett? He's down to 16% rostered on Yahoo right now.
I'm into it. That's a buy low. I mean, if he's on your waiver wire, I like Sam Bennett and I trust kind of what I've seen from Bennett throughout his career, right? He's always a guy, or at least for the past three seasons, like, you know, 2020, 2021, and 2022, his shots to goal per 60 at 5-on-5, 12.67, 11.28, and 10.25. You know, like, that's pretty darn good. You know, actually, well, the 2021 was a 10-game season. So that's whatever. That's a small sample size. But still, like, he's putting up the metrics that we like to see, and his scoring chances for are over 10 as well. So I think, you know, coming off injury, right, he comes back for one game, gets injured again. Like it's a slow go. I think you're going to have to be patient with Sam Bennett, but I believe that these shots and the chances are going to come back. And he was really prioritized in the playoff run as well. He was getting a ton of minutes. And I think that's in the range of outcomes for this player. Right. And plus we have Barkov out for who knows how long. Like the reports are it's day to day, but I'm still not sold. I don't know. Like that was a gross hit on Barkov there. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're kind of just taking their time and we still get something like, okay, now Barkov's out for 3 to 5 weeks. You know what I mean? Something like that. That's just me being kind of a Debbie Downer, but, you know, Barkov's plight is going to be Bennett's, benefit, right? Bennett's for benefit. Sure. That sounds weird. But yeah, I think I'm excited about this player for this upcoming week to see what he can do. But I do believe in the player and I think he should be rostered more than 19%.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think Bennett will rebound. He's pretty much tied to Tkachuk. Anytime both guys are healthy, he's been on the Tkachuk line at even strength. And Tkachuk is one of the greatest on-ice generators that we have in the game. So Yeah, I absolutely believe that Sam Bennett will be back. He tends to get muted. He tends to be in this 16-minute range when everybody's healthy and everything's rolling there. But I think Florida is actually a bit of a wagon moving forward, especially once they get Barkov back. They'll be rolling on all cylinders. They got their defenseman back, their star defenseman. I think they're going to be pretty good. I think Bennett can run into some points there. Another guy who's been tough to roster lately is Mika Zibanejad. One assist in his last five games. What's going on with Zibanejad? I know we've talked a little bit about him in the past, but a 55-point pace now on the season. Underlying numbers are not great. 175th in shots per 60, 230th in individual scoring chances, 4 per 60. Talk to me about Zibanejad. Are you actively buying him, or are you thinking that something's wrong there in New York?
It's hard. He's a buy low, and I would be buying on Mika Zibanejad for sure. I believe in the player, but when you got it, like we've talked about New York a little bit now, when you get a new coach in there with new systems and, you know, kind of with the gravity that Peter Laviolette has, right? He's got a bit of a reputation. Like there's some growing pains there. And I think, yeah, Zibanejad has felt that. And who knows what else is going on? Like he might be injured, right? Like if you look at some of Zibanejad's shooting percentages throughout the years, like last three seasons, 14%, 13.2, 15.5 last year. And this year he's shooting 4.8, right? If you believe that Mika Zibanejad is going to shoot 4.8% on the season, then, you know, get off him or whatever, right? But like, to me, this is a mega buy low. I think Zibanejad will rebound. He still has 10 points in 15 games, and he's been a streaky player in the past too. Like he puts up points in bunches. So something that's interesting too, at even strength, he's actually putting reasonable numbers together. Like his shots on goal per 60 is 7.09. That's higher than the last three seasons, right? He's individual Corsi 4 is higher than the last four seasons, and scoring chances are kind of right in line with where they should be. And on the power play, he's going off. Like his numbers are ludicrous in terms of shots, scoring chances, and Corsi four, but his conversion is jack crap. So for some reason, he's not converting, but I really believe in Zibanejad on the power play. And I think that's where the biggest positive regression is going to come for Zibanejad. And that's where his points are going to come.
Fair enough. Now, I want to do, for the last couple here, I want to do a little compare and contrast. So we got Jared McCann, 1 goal and 1 point in his last five games. And we got Troy Terry, just 2 assists in his last five games. I did check, the game is still ongoing, but the Ducks have just 1 goal, and Terry has not factored into that. What are we doing here? I've had some people come to me asking if they can drop Troy Terry. I've not seen the same for Jared McCann, but arguably McCann doing worse, right, on the season. Just a 43-point pace for Jared McCann. Most of that has been goals, which is maybe why people are feeling a little bit better about him. But underlying numbers, not kind to either of these guys. 202nd in shots per 60 for McCann, 312th for Terry. He's gone absolutely silent. The on-ice numbers, not much better for either player. So what are we doing with Jared McCann, and would you rather have McCann or Terry moving forward?
Oh God, I'd like to have both of them at peak powers because I like both these players. You know, they've both been able to do a lot, you know, in their history of fantasy hockey here, but I don't know. I think of the two players, I'd probably take Troy Terry because he's getting more deployment historically. That said, I mean, he was rolling on the third line today in Anaheim, which I hate. So they put him with, you know, Silverberg and Adam Henrique, which, I mean, that's going the wrong way, right? I want to see 20-minute Troy Terry, which we have seen a couple times this season, right? We haven't really seen 20-minute Jared McCann. That's not what they do in Seattle, right?
Right.
And Jared McCann's power play deployment is all over the place. Like currently he's a 40% power play share, when last year he had 52. So now it's even more all over the shop. Like he's not getting as much power play time as he needs, right? This is their best offensive player, and they're not putting him on power play one. I don't know what the hell Dave Haxtell is doing. But yeah, in a bubble, I'm taking Troy Terry. I feel like he's going to get back on that top line. I like the way that Terry scores his points, like off the rush. He's an amazing rush player, rush chances, rush shots, assists off the rush. That's what Troy Terry does. So he just needs more minutes. And I think there's a clearer path to more deployment for Terry. But damn, it's rough. I have Troy Terry in three spots. And yeah, I'm feeling this pain big time.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. if you're looking for an off ramp on either player, like they both have pretty similar schedules over the next 2 weeks, both of those teams, Seattle and Anaheim. So there's not like a schedule advantage you're getting one versus the other. I just think it's an interesting compare and contrast there. Like some other Seattle players are really popping off. Like Ili Tolvanen had a fantastic week. Jordan Eberle just had a big game. There's definitely some other players that are doing well over there, just not McCann currently. And I do think like eventually at some point it'll swing back in the other direction. McCann will get red hot and the other guys will go silent because that's just how it seems to go in Seattle. But how long are you going to hang on to McCann waiting for that to come around? So I don't know that I have a great answer on that. I wouldn't get rid of either player for this particular week just because the schedule is not great. I don't think you're getting a major advantage on other players that are out there by dropping these guys, unless you like absolutely have to scratch and claw for every win and these guys are actually at the bottom of your roster. I'm probably still hanging on to them, but I do understand, and I am watching these guys pretty closely at this point. They're on notice, as Blake would say.
Who are you picking, Nate? Which one? Come on, you have to pick one. What are you doing?
I have to pick one. I'm picking Troy Terry. I still think I had a pretty bullish projection on Troy Terry at the beginning of the season, and I still think he's the guy with the biggest upside. You hope that Zegras comes back healthy at some point. You hope that they kind of iron out what their top line is going to look like. They hope that Leo Carlson gets to play full time. All these things. Hopefully
if right.
point to a bounce back for Terry. With McCann, like I feel like I just know that he's going to have some hot streaks where he wins you some weeks, and then he's going to go through stretches like this where he actually loses you some weeks. So I think Terry can be a more consistent player in the long term. All right, that's going to be it for Have Nots. If we didn't talk about a player that you want to hear about, look for Puzzling Players. That's every Monday, 8 p.m. EST. I go live and I take live questions on YouTube here. And I also take questions from the Discord server in advance of that. So get yourself into the Discord server. Get yourself onto the live shows on YouTube, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Mondays. And you can ask about any player your little heart desires. All right, Blake, let's go to move of the week. What do you have for us here?
Oh, yeah. I did terribly this week in my matchup. So my moves are all learning. They're learning chances. All right. I took a chance by streaming in Erik Gustafsson this week, halfway through the matchup, because he only had one game. So I basically lost a game. I dropped Voronkov, that big beauty from Columbus. I dropped him and picked up Erik Gustafsson in anticipation of next week for the 4-game week. So that's something I did. I did lose out on a couple points there, and I lost a close matchup as well. So I it wasn't enough to win me the matchup, but I don't know. It's just something to think about. It's nice to kind of look back at those moves and be like, okay, what if, what could have happened? Also I did add Lucas Raymond. I was able to pick him up for back-to-back in the global series, and he scored a couple goals. So that did help me there, but yeah, it was just a bad week for me overall. So it's all just, you know, what did I learn basically? So, you know, I'm chalking it up to just some lessons I'm taking here. What about you, Nate?
Yeah, I had one matchup. So I did pretty well this week. Went in three of my four leagues, my four redraft leagues this week. So feeling pretty good about that overall. But the one league where I'm not going to win, I'm high up there in points four. I had actually a pretty good week, but I was still chasing this guy who's having a terrific week. And in this league, there's a big wait for goaltenders. And what I've been trying to do is to get my skaters in order so that I don't have to stream much for skaters. And I can just stream these goaltenders in these terrific matchups against the San Jose's, against the Chicago's. And I can really just kind of pump some sweet streams for the week and come out ahead on the goaltender side. So what I did was I had a couple ads saved for the end of the week. I had actually been able to make some moves to get ahead for this week, and I was looking really good. Got some Seattle Islander streams for early in the week for my ads from last week. I was thinking that I was all set up, and then ended up having two ads to use yet today. And so I was going to stream a couple goalies to try to get that. And what I ended up doing was streaming Mrazek and Lukanen against each other, which in hindsight is not the best situation if you're chasing, right? So you want to maximize your potential. If you're chasing like if you get a median result when you're chasing, that's not enough, right? Unless you're like 1 point behind. What you want to be looking for is the chance for both players to absolutely go off and get you big numbers. So Lukanen had a nice game, but Mrazek, had 17 saves and 3 goals against in this league that amounted to 1.2 points in the end. So not too much from Mrazek. What I should have been doing is look into one of the other games. You know, Hofer so far in this game has only allowed the one goal. We're into the third period now, something like that. Give yourself a chance at winning both games with your goaltender streams. Never stream both goaltenders from the same game. Don't bet against yourself in that way, especially when you're chasing. So that's my move of the week, something that you can learn from my failure for this week. Wouldn't have mattered in the end in this matchup. He had me in the end, but just something that I can take away and get better at for next time. All right, Blake, we've got to recap the head-to-head streamer deathmatch. I don't really know how much credit to really assign you since Josh did the picking of Kirill Marchenko for you, but I guess you get another W here. You moved to 4-1. Marchenko had 12.5 kickoffle points. Schwartz went absolutely silent, including absolutely silent, 0 points against Vancouver in his last game of the week. 7.25 points for Schwartz on the week. So that's a W for you. Obviously, we've got our new guys for this week, and I'm feeling confident. All right, I'm gonna come back this week. We're going to make this turnaround here. I can't have Blake embarrassing me like this. So that's what's going to happen moving forward. What do you have to say for yourself, Blake? Are you willing to gloat yet? Last time, I think you were, you know, trying to be super nice, and it was very jarring to me. I don't do well with those kind of situations. See, so
that was the perfect date. Yeah.
Please do some gloating now so I can be angry.
Now, you know what? I can't do it, Nate. All right. You tried your best and you failed miserably. All right. The lesson is never try. All right. That's how we get to biz. No. Thank you, Josh, for your service. Excellent pick on Marchenko, my man. Like I said, Josh and I were simpatico. All right. That's called synergy, Nate. And we're together on that. So I'm taking the dub. But you know what? If I win overall by one, you know what? That's going to be an asterisk. All right. So I gotta get a big lead here. I can't in good conscience win by one with this one on the books here. So there you go. Take that for what it's worth, Nate. But congratulations to you. Again, two garbage streamers, aren't they? Like one assist for Jaden Schwartz and one goal for Marchenko. Yay. That's how we do. That's fine.
Marchenko still had those underlying numbers that we love, but the actual results not so hot for either of those guys. Well, that's all we've got for this episode. Hopefully it brought you some value, helped you get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All the advanced stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, which is a terrific free resource. Many thanks to the band there for supplying the music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. And that's it, folks. Much love.